is up, dudes, dudettes, and all my beautiful people of the interwebs? Bloody Knuckles here, aka the Gothic Gamer, and your resident anime king. It is Saturday, so you know what time it is. It is time to go beyond. Welcome to the United States of Smash with the Smash Podcast. And I gotta say, it's been a minute. We know that y'all are missing everything that we've got going on and everything that's been going on. And we got your news for all things geeky goodness and nerdy. And I have to say, while there's definitely been some slow news, especially for us as anime fans, there's a little bit coming out, but definitely a lot of stuff on the manga side of things. But definitely for all the comic book fans, for all the movie fans, especially for superheroes, there's a lot of news coming out. And trust me, you're going to want to hear what we're going to talk about tonight. But before we do that, it's a little bit light here on the show tonight. It is Soul King's birthday today, so wish him a happy birthday on social media. Follow him on Twitter. His information is down below. And make sure you give that dude a lot of support and love for everything he does for us. And Super G is having a bit of tech issues, so he's actually going to be back. He's been so busy with work and family, but it's good to have him back on the show. But before we go any further, let's introduce the one member of the Smash crew that's always here, rain or shine, except when he doesn't have power because he's broke. And give it up to our resident fraud extraordinaire, the man with no plan, and when he does, it starts at Z. What's going on with the operation? Oh my god, I swear if your mic just went out in the middle of the show. Oh my god, this man can never get anything right. We just spent 15 minutes trying to fix this. And this is the way, this is how we started, right? This is just our luck and everything that goes on with everything. And look who's just joining in and just showing up. What's going on with you, Super G? Oh, my lord. We're going to need to fix that just a little bit. Mic is just a little bit loud. Just gonna turn that down just a little bit.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
There he is. There's operation. Oh my lord. How does this happen? How do we do this every time? Oh my gosh. It seems like we are just having the worst luck today. And it seems that G has his mic on and he doesn't even realize it. And it looks like everyone's mic's going out. Alright guys, this is the this is the absolute worst luck that we've ever had with anything ever. And oh my
lord.
No, we cannot hear you.
Is that better?
Yes, I can hear you.
Is the quality clear or?
Yeah, you're clear now. You're clear.
Okay, I'm just gonna stand absolutely still for
just
the entire
don't
show.
Don't move. Don't move at all. Just
I'm not gonna move at all. God damn this mic. Okay.
Okay.
Of course, we weren't here last week, but I did finish Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
All right.
Of course, it was dope. She was really dope. Of course, I never issued with it. Just never had time to get into it. But man, all those years I missed out on the show, bro, it was magnificent. And of course, I started JoJo Bizarre Adventures as well. Yeah, I said like the first 10 episodes were bad, but like it's really not that bad. Of course, it's weird as shit, but like.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're talking about everything that you've been doing, right? And I'm glad that you're caught up, or that you finally went and watched, Full Metal Alchemist, because, man, Full Metal is one of the classics. And everyone, like I said, everyone really loved what they did with Brotherhood because of the fact that it followed the manga very well, adapted to that, and, of course, it ended with, Ed and Al getting their happy ending and everything that came from that. But like I said, the original OVA is still phenomenal. I love what they did with it. And there was a lot more going on in that anime that a lot of people really didn't pay attention to. But glad that you finally were able to catch up on that. And you watched both, didn't you? Or did you just watch Brotherhood?
Just Brotherhood. I'm starting the original this week.
Okay. And the fact that finally did you listen to me and watch JoJo's. And what are your thoughts on that so far?
Yeah, I really like y'all really tore down with the first 10 episodes. They're really not that bad. They're like, well, dumb as shit, yes. It's wacky, but they're really not that bad. It's actually quite hilarious.
Like I said,
though,
it's not bad. I still really liked it. And like I said, it was just slow, and it's understandable why a lot of people won't like it. Like I said, Jonathan's annoying. I love, absolutely. Yeah, like I said, all the other characters are great. Jonathan is just annoying because he's too good he's just so good, it's annoying. You know, it's the fact of he's the ultimate good, and it's so played out, and it's like not in even the endearing kind of good. You know? Mm-hmm. But that's why all the other side characters, Zeppeli's interesting. Of course, Dio is like the most perfect villain because he's such an asshole.
That dude, in the beginning, that dude's fucking insane. Like, from the minute he's out to destroy fucking Jonathan's life and shit, right? The dude even burns that dog alive, bro. That shit.
He threw that dog right in the fire. Right in the fire.
Oh, a bush is a blazing glory, bro. That shit was hilarious, bro. Yeah, top of it, made it do a fucking vampire, bro, which I wasn't expecting at all, but yeah, man, that show's wild. Of course, my friend, like, back in high school, he first shows me. It was like, there's one small clip of this dude playing with cherry in his mouth. From that day forward, like, no, I ain't fucking the show.
That's in season 3.
Yeah, I was like, that's no, I want no parts of this.
Hey, you're going to like that boy later. He's hilarious.
Oh, man. But yeah, in time, I'll get to it.
Oh, no. We're still having so many issues here on the back end.
I think Super G should be in here. Now. He has his own mic muted. It's probably too loud in his place right now.
No, he can't hear. Man, everyone has... Why is everyone's headset failing? Why does everything suck?
I don't know. I have A40s, and these things are still giving me problems. I'm not sure why.
So bad. Oh, man. But still, like I said, the first season of JoJo's was absolutely necessary for setting up everything that's going to be coming up in that season, or that comes mm-hmm. later on in the other stories and seasons that come well later. So it's necessary. Like I said, Jonathan is just one of those characters that everyone found annoying, and it happens, but I still really liked it because, you know, we still got Zeppeli. We still got, you know, Ario Speedwagon, best boy, best husbando of all time, most loyal for several generations of JoJo's. Like, legitimately cannot talk about anyone more loyal than Ario Speedwagon.
Yeah, that name alone just like it caught my attention. Like, Speedwagon, what the fuck is going on?
Robert E.O. Speedwagon.
Gotta love it. so far it's good.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. But man, I've been catching up on so many things I need to. I recently restarted watching Made in Abyss, and I love that show, and I'm excited for the movie and the new season when that comes out. But man, mm-hmm. every time I tell people to watch that show, I'm just like, it's a story about kids going on a grand old adventure spelunking, and everyone comes back to me later and after watching, they're like, you're a liar. I just like, no, I'm not a liar. I just didn't say the whole truth. I didn't lie though. And they're like, you're wrong. I was just like, absolutely. I know how bad I am.
But damn, man, how you gonna do them like that?
Because of the fact that that's the only way to go into that show. You cannot go into that show knowing anything.
It sounds going to be a nightmare when I start it, but we'll see.
Oh, absolutely.
Ah, shit.
It's going to be so good, though. But yeah, Made in Abyss, also really great. Been rewatching that. Of course, I'm still going through One Piece slowly and keeping up with all my other shows and everything that's going on. What else am I watching right now? I think I'm pretty much caught up on all the current running seasons. I think I'm just going through my backlog of stuff that I missed. That's literally what I've been catching up on anime, and then trying to keep up with all my other shows that are just now starting back up from all the Arrowverse shows, and I have been watching Netflix. I just finished The Umbrella Academy. Oh my god, I love it because it did so great on going through the comics, and Five, still as much of a like no shit taking asshole kid that he is in the show like he was in the comics, and I love it.
That's what's up, man. I'll get more done, but like, I need to turn off my Xbox and pack this thing away, because that's literally keeping me from watching these shows.
I mean, if you're like me, just have a double setup, you know, be gaming while you're watching, because I do both.
Oh, Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to put too much attention to one or the other.
Nope.
Because I tried Walking Dead. No, I rewind it so many times because I missed so many key points and factors.
That's just the thing. He's really bad attention.
Right. And he's going to kill me for that because he loves Walking Dead. And he finds out I was slacking on it because of Xbox. Oh, I'm not going to hear the end of it.
Yeah, but man, it's been a good time. But while G is trying to figure out what's going on with his headset over there, man, and unfortunately, we just had nothing but tech issues starting in. Let's go ahead and jump into our first topic. And I want to start with one that I'm probably the most passionate about and probably been the one who's been the most active with this, right? And that's Battle Angel Alita. I love Battle Angel Alita so much. I actually went and bought the box set of the mangas right now for like 100 because it has all 5 volumes of the omnibus, which is each volume is 3 of the original volumes of the manga put together in one. And then it also came with all the short stories. And right now it's typically like 180. You can get it for $100 off Amazon. So go do that. Support Kitako because dude is awesome with that whole series. But the movie itself was such a well-done adaptation for a live action that I was legitimately so happy that it shows that a live action adaptation of both mangas or animes can be done when the attention is given to these movies and given the right direction. And what Robert Rodriguez, what James Cameron both did with Battle Angel Alita was perfect. The animation was spot on. It was well built for 3D, which is perfectly fine because a lot of things are in AVX and 3D nowadays. But while it was getting good praises from some critics, it was still being heavily bashed because it's just a standard B movie, you know, flick. They weren't. I mean, yes, it's an action. It's what you'd expect out of an anime or manga. It is a right. It is a shonen. It is a straight battle manga. I don't know what they were expecting. Yes, it has a good story in it, but the story, while there and being very cyberpunk, it still focuses on the action of that aspect, and they weren't paying attention. And some of the critics who were dogging on it didn't know the source material at all. And that's one of those aspects of they were sitting there hating on it without not knowing the origins of the series itself.
There he is.
Now we got it working. What's up? What's up, G?
Got a little boo-boo kazoo in the background going off too, but we good.
Is it?
You good, man. But, it's just Battle Angel Alita only did about 60 million here in the U.S. domestic box office in its opening weekend. Was given one of the worst opening weekends, especially for President's Day in 15-year history or whatever for films, as well as also the fact that it was only receiving a score of 60 on Metacritic or on Rotten Tomatoes from critics. Yet, it's another one of those cases. If you look at the audience score is almost a 97 on this film. It is absolutely loved by the fans because it was well done. And, you know, things were looking good. When you look at those kinds of numbers, you look at the scores that it was receiving, that's a flop. If we're looking only at Hollywood and U.S. domestic office scores, that would have been a massive flop. However, Hollywood isn't the only market for movies anymore.
Thank God.
It really is. You're not wrong. Thanks to good global market, especially China, they have put in so much support for movies that would not do well here in the U.S. And in China, the film did phenomenal. I think it did over there 110 million in its opening weekend alone.
And almost double U.S. shit.
Yes, and it's pushing for a full support of. I think it was. It's right now after its 10-day, it's getting close to globally overall at about 220 million, and the movie itself had a budget. I think it was like 110. So thanks to China alone, they saved this film and made it successful. And by the estimated end of Aelita's run, they're saying that it might be closer to about 400 million that it'll gross overall, which would be enough for it to greenlight a sequel, which this film perfectly set up with the ending that they left off in the film, as well as knowing what else is in the that they can adapt from the manga itself, because where it left off, it's only, if you look at it, was honestly close to the end of the first volume of the omnibus, which is like three volumes in. So they still have plenty of material to pull from for the rest of any further sequels that they wanted to do. So I'm glad to know that thanks to a global market, we're starting to see that these films that aren't doing good in the domestically are being saved thanks to wider markets, especially China. Of course, you have Bollywood and stuff like that, and even Europe has a relatively good market. Those are saving films like this that are being well received but aren't doing what critics want, and because of that, that's really hurting the film. What are your thoughts on that, Op?
Yeah, as far as the critics, unfortunately, this is just how things are in the movie industry. We got these fucking critics out here, these fake Deep Shiraz campaigns and whatnot. Kind of like gamers nowadays, the little casual ones. They're on this fake Deep Ship. Everybody has some deep narrative experience to go through, whether it's a game or movie or show and stuff like that. Like, no one has an appreciation for something that's just fun or enjoyable to watch. Like, luckily, it hit Aquaman too hard because the critics didn't actually like that as well, and the fans as well. But it hit Elite even harder as well. But the fact that it was able to actually blow through the critics and blow through all the bullshit and still be successful in the beginning, due to like the global appeal and global market of it, shows that this shows the film is actually better than what it's really appeared to be as well. So I'm just happy that it's actually done as well in the box office, and actually fans will really enjoy it or watch the movie as well. Because at this point, fuck the critics. Like, why? Like, who really cares about what they think at this point? Like, because from what you really said before, they don't even understand the source material. Half the time they go to these movies, they don't understand where it's coming from, the origins of the characters, or the concept they're actually going with the movie as well. So why would you even take their opinion seriously on this matter? For me, I haven't had a chance to see the movie because of all the issues in my life and whatnot. I haven't had a chance to get out there and see it for myself, but hopefully I will be able to soon. But if not, I'll definitely get the Blu-ray and just support them through there, or just buy them digitally through other avenues as well. But yeah, this movie, unfortunately, is getting trashed by the critics. Thankfully, that didn't stop his train as well. Actually managed to be successful, and projections are actually looking pretty healthy for it as well. So if it does gross $400 million, that'd be good for him. Hopefully get a sequel for that. But at the same time, I'm a little bit worried because we don't know how much they spent on marketing as well, because that could be pretty expensive as well. If they ran like a tiny niche budget for marketing, well, it won't offset like the profit margins of a movie coming in. Now, I would actually feel more confident about it coming. I feel more confident about it getting a sequel as well. But if the marketing campaign is actually pretty expensive, then I'm making it a little more tricky for me to get a sequel greenlit.
Yeah, I think it had a budget of about $170 million total, and that included the marketing.
Oh, so in total, okay, yeah. So if the projections are $400 million, then it really should be fine. Because $390 million then?
Well, yeah, because
no, $289 million.
It only earned $62 million over 2 weeks, or about $64 million mm-hmm. here domestically in 2 weeks. It did $62 million in its opening weekend in China, and about $113 million over its first 10 days. So that's and then not including Europe and all that. That's a $222 million overall.
Yeah.
So it's doing much better thanks to the global market compared to what it did here domestically.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So I'm glad they
Gee, what are your thoughts on this? Is he
here? He's still mute.
Yeah, I think he's still having troubles over there. Ah, wow.
But yeah, I'm glad like they're able to reach this movie in multiple regions as well, because if it didn't, it's like maybe just America and China, make a slick few others. Then I'll be much more worried about his future going forward.
Absolutely.
But having those other regions as well definitely helped it out a lot.
No, you're not wrong. It really has helped this film out, and given it so much room to be able to properly breathe. But it's still just one of those cases of, you know, it's unfortunately still just hurting because of the fact of the market that it's appearing to, as well as just the fact of critics nowadays criticize everything without really knowing.
Right.
So
they're really more misinformed than most regular people anyway going to some of these movies as well.
Yep, absolutely, man. It's just an unfortunate fact, and it sucks. But that's just kind of the way things stand, as it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, because you gotta really sit there and wonder how some of them actually still have a career or a job in this field. But then you gotta realize there are people just like them who don't know what the fuck's going on with some of these movies or source materials. And they go in to watch and they tear it down, not even knowing what they're going into.
Yep. G, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, you loud and clear, man.
Oh, okay. Am I too loud?
No, you perfect, man.
You good, man.
Alright, sweet. Yeah, man, figuring this thing out. And then my computer crashed, so now on my phone. It's crazy.
Oh, no.
Oh, you too?
Everyone's on their phone today, except for me.
It started, like, making this, like, bzzz sound, and then that was it.
Oh, ooh. No. Damn. You guys, you see what we have to deal with sometimes on over here on the back end? It's worse.
So I'm, like, booting it back up right now. But how's everybody doing?
Oh, we're doing good, man. What are your thoughts on the Alita sales or on everything, man?
I think it's nuts that we didn't support it over here as much as we asked for these type of movies. Or, like, not support it is crazy. But I'm glad the was it the Chinese or Japanese?
The Chinese market.
They did it big.
Yeah.
I mean, for me to say that's crazy because I haven't even seen it, but I've been just too busy. I plan on seeing it, but, man, I've been busy as heck.
Yeah, what month they released it to?
I'm glad it did find success.
It released President's Day weekend, literally the weekend after Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not a good movie to release around that time.
True.
Especially when you got like those love movies coming out and stuff around that time. For that holiday, yeah. It's not a good time.
Well, it maybe should have kept it. Maybe should have kept it.
It maybe should have kept its December release time. Probably would have did better because you just see those like action packed movies that come out in December, like along with Star Wars and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean that could have done it a lot better. But either way you look at it, man, it unfortunately had a lot going against it. But it still did good for what it did, and that's thanks to having a really strong global market. Unfortunately,
yeah, man. I've heard nothing but good things about it though. So.
Oh, absolutely. Same. And absolutely, like I said, I gushed about it because of the fact that, like I said, it did a great job of building up and continuing or following the manga so well in a live action adaptation. And I really hope that it does get a sequel. It absolutely does deserve one, and I'm glad. I hope it does. Thanks to the international market. Like, this is one of those times where people want these kinds of films and are happy when they're done, but then at the same time, everyone sits there and trash talks everything. And it's just like, yo, come on now. God. I don't know, man. As fans, we fickle. And
I honestly thought, like, with just along with, like, James Cameron's name being attached to the movie, I thought that was going to help it.
As a producer. And like, then you also you would have think, like, Robert Rodriguez, a man of action.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that next. Like, it's just like, because, like, whatever James Cameron usually touches, it's like gold, according to, like, the media and stuff like that, you know? Like, look at Titanic. It's still, like, top movie of all time, along with his other movie, Avatar, right? So, like, it's just usually when his name's attached to something, it's, like, equals greatness. But I guess people didn't go out and support it. He's probably been gone too long.
It could have been word of mouth, too, working against it as well. Because, like, people look at a movie commercial and now, people are like, what is this, like, probably looks like similar to anime. That probably could possibly turn a lot of people off as well, because, you know, people are just ignorant to how anime is. They have these stereotypes already lined up against it. So if they have that in their mind as well, probably having James Cameron behind it probably wasn't enough to sell them about the movie, because they're already going with their stereotypes against anime as well. So that could have been a factor working against it.
Yeah, man, it's really just, it sucks, man. It sucks for them. And I don't know, like I said, it's one of those, they're going against the grain, and it hurts a lot of films, but this one, they did it right, and because of the fact that they didn't support it, you know, it's just, it's hard, and this is why a lot of those companies, or no one wants to do these adaptations, because of the fact that it exists like this, it exists in this market. We beg for these live action adaptations sometimes, and yet when we get them, and they're good, we sit there and either don't support it or, you know,
pirate it.
Yeah. It's just one of those things that sucks.
Yeah, it's people not putting their money where their mouth is. They want the support, they want these adaptations as well. But when they drop the game, influenced by their friends and whatnot, or just don't feel like going and seeing it. So, just one of the risks you gotta take.
Yep. It's just one of those things, man. It really is one of those things. But I think we've touched on Arleta enough, so we're gonna go ahead and head on right to the next topic here, which is the fact that Marvel. All right, we got two lovely pieces of news coming from Marvel. Actually, quite a few. And we're going to start with the first one. And as you can see here in the background, we got one of our family's favorite characters, which is the Incredible Hulk himself. And in the world of comics, retcons and reworks of an origin story comes with the territory. You know, it always happens. It's something we've seen multiple times. We've seen the Flash's origins change multiple times. We haven't seen too much change to Batman because, I mean, his origin doesn't need to change or anything because it completely breaks him. But, you know, there's a lot of change to a lot of characters over time with reimaginings or new explanations for their origins and stuff like that, right? Well, Recently they announced that they're doing a brand new origin retcon, however you want to do it. Because remember, retcon just means retroactive continuity. They're redoing the origins for the Hulk. And for those who don't know, the Hulk's whole origin was the fact that Bruce Banner was working on a gamma bomb style weapon, and he saw a young boy on the site, try to save him from the blast. Ended up getting exposed to gamma radiation, and because of that, it created a whole nother personality within his mind. Whenever he would get angry, and that became the Hulk as we know him. Well, it's very much Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde style stuff, right? Well, everything that's coming out now with everything is the fact of now the way that they're actually portraying his origins is that. And thanks to Immortal Hulk, right, that storyline is that the Hulk's basically unkillable. There's no way to get rid of the Hulk. And he's also become more smart and more cunning over time. Well, one of the most recent things is that when he was affected by the gamma radiation, they created what's now called the Green Door, which is basically a way to kind of tie into other planes of reality and stuff like that and all the different styles of hell. And that one of them specifically is the one below all, just like we have the one above all, which is basically kind of like their ultimate devil, greater evil, just like one above all knows everything and is the highest being in existence and stuff like that. Well, apparently what they did is with the creation of the Green Door is that now the Hulk is basically his avatar and his herald on Earth. So basically the Hulk is kind of a devil that was created due to the Bruce Banner being affected by this gamma radiation, and he was basically selected as the vessel to basically exist for the one below all. And when I was reading that, I found it to be very interesting of a way to rework his origins. But at the same time, it's one of those ones that was just, like, so far out there. I was just like, why would you do that? I mean, it makes a lot more sense to give the Hulk a lot more,
Depth.
Yeah, depth. Because the fact that, as far as we know, Bruce Banner just got affected by radiation, just got super angry, and just created this, you know, monster. Now they're giving that monster a reason to exist within the universe and a deep explanation of how he came to be. And I like that explanation. You know, the Hulk, I think, is one of the one characters, especially Marvel, that hasn't had a lot of rework or depth over years. And as we've seen in time, we've seen, like, the creation of Worldbreaker Hulk. We've seen the creation and explanation for Red Hulk and stuff like that. But now the fact that we're actually seeing how his existence really ties into everything and how he is the way he is, I think that gives a lot more depth to him. And I'm kind of really looking forward to wanting to read this comic line with this whole retcon. What are your thoughts on it, G? Did we lose
you? I don't know, dude. I like the original story. I'm not a big fan of any retconning, but I mean, if it's to improve, I'm not, dude. I just like what I like, and that's that. I don't really care when I kind of hate when they do it. Hate's a strong word, but like, I really dislike it.
You don't like retcons?
I don't. I mean, unless it's something that like borderlines like fix a horrible story, kind of like Dragon Ball retconning Broly, but we ain't gonna go there right now.
Infinite Crisis retconning and fixing, you know, Superman's broken stupid powers.
Yeah, you know, if it's something like that's gonna improve the story, but I never found a problem with the original Hulk story as is. You know, like, I mean, I understand over time stuff's gonna change, but like, the origin story is original, and it was nothing really wrong with it besides it kind of like comparing to all the other heroes' origin story at the time. But I mean, it's not a bad thing, but that's just me.
But yeah, they took his origin, this retcon, pretty much left with it pretty much. Like, I think it's pretty cool what they did with it as well. Because, of course, his origin is pretty simple as well with most heroes and villains. But this retcon that they deal with actually adds more depth to not only him, but the Marvel Universe as well. Because first, with this new retcon, the Immortal Hulk run, we're introduced to the Green Door, which pretty much like this gateway between like our realm, like the lowest level depth of hell, like I fully already explained. And of course, there's just the one below all as well, which is like evil counterparts and one above all. But the thing about top of that was with Gamma Ray, it's not only scientific phenomenon anymore, it's actually mystical now. So because it's mythical, the one below all can actually be manifest through Gamma Ray as well. And which Blade already said, he can use people who are actually affected by Gamma Ray being his avatars, and Hulk being the strongest one as well. So I mean, it does add more depth to Hulk as well. And I can see where like people might not like the change as well. Because it's really like, they're not really turning on his head, but like, they're probably pushing like a different direction than Hulk's probably been in before as well. So I can see where like the intention is coming from the fans as well. I actually think it's a pretty cool take on him, but I don't think like it might be the main continuity for Hulk, but like we just have to see what this run to do with Immortal Hulk. But I think the concept is actually pretty cool because they add more depth to Gamma Radiation as well. Because he's not really the only one affected by Gamma Radiation, because there's him, Sasquatch, what's it, Absorption Man, I believe.
Yeah, Absorption
Man. Yeah, some other people as well. Like, I think Amadeus Cho as well, because he's a new Hulk, I believe. Is that right?
Is it right? Yes.
No, it's not.
No.
Is it? But it's another Hulk. He's like much younger.
Yeah.
A little slick back. Yeah, I forget his name.
I can't remember.
But this also affects him as well. But yeah, it's really brought in the this realm of Hulk and how Gamma Radiation works in the Marvel Universe. Which I think is a pretty cool take.
Because basically every style of powers and scientific explanation exists within Marvel, right? We have, you know, look at the Fantastic Four. They were created because of cosmic radiation from the sun, because of a solar flare. You have Nova, who basically has the power of stars because he's able to control quasi-matter by basically creating quasars, which are basically decaying stars. You know, look at Captain Marvel. She literally has the power of a white dwarf star. There's a reason she goes binary when she goes super crazy and everything. And then, of course, you have all the different styles of magic and how it all exists. And then not even to mention all the different technology from, you know, nanotech and quantum particles between Iron Man and Ant-Man alone. It's just one of those things of just giving a faceless power a little bit more depth.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
It's definitely interesting. I won't deny that. I'm really excited to see how it all plays out. I really want to look at it.
Mods, you guys are gonna have to keep answering chat because.
But I don't know how it's all gonna play out. You know, that's just one of those things of I don't know.
Isn't this like Immortal Hulk run like supposed to be like more horror based too?
I believe it's supposed to be, yes.
Yeah, because I heard some rumblings about this. People saying it's actually pretty good as far as like horror comics go, so I definitely have to check it out. Like a chance.
Like I said, they basically like Hulk is now super intelligent, like super smart.
Yeah.
And he's basically just being called Devil Hulk now.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives the Hulk so much more.
Now I got a question for you.
Yeah,
I understand that he's smarter now, whatever. But like, couldn't they have just kept the origin and just explained that he just got smarter over time? He's been the damn Hulk forever. How long? You know, like, So did they really have to retcon it?
I mean, you know, it...
Maybe introduce the one below all and add his new persona to Hulk, because if I remember correctly, Hulk does have multiple personas that sometimes manifest through him.
Yeah.
I think one was like Professor Hulk. I think it was one of them that manifests.
No, Doc Green.
I think?
Doc Green.
Yeah, got it wrong. Yes, this is probably just another one's persona. I don't think it's another one's persona as well, but try...
Where's King David when you need him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It's... The Professor is what he's called when Hulk's physical form came out with the intelligence of Bruce Banner and Doc Green.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was the Professor, and now we have something like a lot more intelligent than that. I mean, it's just crazy how it all works. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I wish David was here, because I mean, he can go in on this one a lot more than we can. I was like, I really need to read this comic line. I really want to read Immortal Hulk. Oh, wow, thanks Ryuko. She said she hasn't watched a stream from us in about a week, and she comes back and I'm looking like Eren from Attack on Titan. Oh, no.
Damn.
I know.
Come back with a shade. Woo.
I mean, it is what it is. I can't help it. At least I'm not crying the whole time, you know.
Oh, that is definitely a fact.
But jumping on over from the Hulk, we're going to hop on over to Captain Marvel. And, man.
Eek.
Yeah, Captain Marvel's not getting a break at all. Okay, so there's been so much controversy surrounding Captain Marvel. And a lot of it is attacks specifically against Brie Larson and her standpoint on things. Because of the fact that a lot of people are mad that she's talking openly about playing a strong female character, that she's a strong female-led superhero movie, you know, following the success of Gal Gadot and Wonder Woman and things like that, as well as she was saying that, you know, she doesn't need support from certain people or how to play her character and be told how to play that kind of character. And a lot of it was making people go out and review bomb the movie before it even comes out. Now, to be fair, especially since this is all on Rotten Tomatoes, there were no actual reviews because of the fact that it was still just affecting the audience score of wanting to see it, but they were able to post reviews before the movie actually launched. Now, it wasn't affecting the audience score because it wasn't up. However, there was just hundreds and hundreds of comments being left on the film already bashing it, and it was coming out as a fact of contingency, mainly again against Brie Larson, as well as some people were making it the DC versus Marvel aspect of things, because of the fact that there's a lot of people saying they're not going to support this film for Captain Marvel, that they're going to only support Shazam because of the whole Captain Marvel thing back from the 80s and that lawsuit and everything that happened with that, with the trademark of the name. But
wait, so we have Marvel stans going out saying "fuck this movie, we're going Shazam instead." Because
yeah, there were DC stans who were also hating on it and using it as a contingency of being able to go against it because of fact of, yeah, they're just like, oh, we don't want this Captain Marvel, we want the real Captain Marvel, which is Shazam, and so much so that even Zach Levi had to go out and tell people, no, don't do that. That's stupid and wrong. And he was giving support and love to Brie Larson and everything and saying, why does it got to be some stupid competition-style stuff I'm pitting against things like that that has no purpose of being an issue, you know, or being a thing?
Right. People got no lives. That's what it is.
I'm
all free time in the world.
And think about this too, right? This harkens back to what happened with Justice League last year, and then everyone wanting to, or all the DC fans going out to try and you know, bomb and hurt, you know, Black Panther. Remember that whole situation?
Yeah, that definitely didn't go well for them.
Oh, absolutely not. And so it's something that's just ridiculous that this has happened. It was so bad that Rotten Tomatoes legitimately had to change the review, the whole guidelines for the review, because you cannot now leave a review for a film that isn't even out yet.
Like, it's sad that it took this for him to make that policy and state it. Like, shouldn't that be obvious? You can't comment or review something that's not even reviewable or viewable at that point. Like, come on now.
Like, exactly.
You run a review site, this should be like one of the first things you had ticked off your list. Make sure you got it done. But,
Go ahead, Op. Give your thoughts on it.
You're like, as far as like Brie Larson's, I didn't see all of her comments, but based on how you describe it, it seems like she's just gassing herself up and getting real prideful in herself. Like, she's really feeling herself. Like, yeah, I'm a strong female protagonist. I'm a really strong female character. Like, lady, movie hasn't came out yet. Chill the fuck out. Let's see how people react to it. See how people view it. Let's then go from there. Like, just judge your acting through the movie and see if you're a strong female protagonist. If you're portraying a character pretty well.
I would gas her up. I mean, Brie Larson's babe.
Okay. Nah, she got no ass. Nothing gas up.
Hey, whoa. Hey, let's not talk about that ass. No one could live up to that ass.
I had to get that one thing out there. I'm sorry. I saw that one meme. I couldn't let it go.
Oh, yeah, that one picture is just like, man, this ain't right at all. You see how thick Cat Marvel is in the comics, and you look at Brie, it's just like,
Bruh, they done her so wrong in that shit. They had a picture of her, then, like, Cat Marvel in the comics. Doing her dirty. But yeah, like, there was the people, this retaliation review bomb it. One, get a fucking life, y'all. Like, I really spent your time and day to go on a website and tear down a movie because what the actor said. And I guess she's the main actor in the movie, but still, for you to go this far and try to destroy a movie online, which is these people are potentially affect people's livelihoods who created this movie.
Yep.
Because I'm pretty sure, like, how this movie review affects how. I guess for FX, the studio going forward to produce it as well.
It's the whole crew, and we have a friend who worked a lot on this film, and we're gonna actively go support it too for his sake. Can't say names because of the fact that confidentiality, baby.
And we'll get assassinated by Disney. Can't have
that. Oh yeah, man, no, can't do that. But now Kevin Feige,
man.
I'm still waiting for that hiring paper. I'm telling you, hire me. I know what's coming. I'm still trying to get that interview. But, G, what are your thoughts on this whole review bombing and all this stuff, dude? All right, good talk. All right.
No, I just hate that it took this long for them to finally, like, change the review policy, because we've been saying it for months that those reviews don't mean crap, dude. Like, but it does affect their way of going to go see the movie, because, like, I guess people rely on those reviews. Here, don't, because we know they're full of crap, but we don't want them to bury a movie before anybody even sees it, which is ridiculous to even do that. Like you said, how do you review something that's not even out? You know, It should have been more of like people's like thought of the movie before it comes out or something, instead of just being a actual like review. You know, like, it should be like, oh, I'm not too interested in this movie, or just shut the hell up and don't say anything at all. You know, but as for Brie, like, to her own horn, she hasn't impressed me with shit yet, so I don't know why she's even doing that. she hasn't, like, I was already on back saying that I didn't care for her being Captain Marvel. I had preferred Evan Rachel Woods, because she looks just like her, and she's beautiful, and that's that, you know, but I'm not a fan of Brie Larson, so hopefully she does good. I'm not gonna be one of those people that shoots the movie down or read.
Yeah, it seems like she's trying to, like, ride off the pedigree of Marvel, what they built up over the years, and try to use it as a safety net for her.
You still don't toot your own horn in your movie, and you ain't even really did nothing that was just, like, that blew us away. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if you're someone like Jake Gyllenhaal, and you come out and be like, man, I was awesome as Mysterio and stuff like that, we could be like, oh, okay, I mean, you have done some awesome work, so we can kind of be like, that's my man, you know?
Yeah, you got something to back yourself off of. He has a track record you can go off of.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, I mean, he's done work, but, like, for that, I don't know.
I mean, well, we'll find out next weekend, and you know we're going to talk about early impressions about that.
I really don't want to see this movie, but I got to.
Hey, stop complaining.
Man, you got to understand. I don't give a fuck about this movie whatsoever. Like, I don't. It's not even against her. I don't care for Captain Marvel that much.
Oh no!
I like Captain Marvel, but I can give two shits about that movie.
Oh no!
Honestly. Yeah, it has not sold me all with the trailer. Samuel Jackson, but at the same time, you got to deal with her throughout the whole movie.
It's all about that cat. It's all about the cat.
What cat?
The cat.
Ain't no damn cat in that movie. She ain't no cat to me. Mm-mm.
Nah, man, you ain't seen the cat. Samuel plays within the trailer.
Man, fuck the cat.
Oh, no. I'm excited for this film. I'm gonna be
Samuel. Hey, as much as I love Samuel, he can't even sell that movie right now.
Exactly. Even young Samuel Jackson can't do it.
Oh no. The hate is so strong.
With the S curl.
Oh no. Oh man. Oh no, baby. What is he doing?
Yeah, this was counterintuitive topic. We talk against people tear down movie, then we tear down ourselves.
I ain't turned down. I just said I wasn't sold on those trailers, and ain't nothing to understand that.
I'm probably like the only like diehard Captain Marvel fan here, so I'm all for it. I'm excited.
Yep.
And when it comes out that it's good and I was right, y'all all gonna be eating that crow.
I'm not gonna eat crow because I'm not shitting on the movie. I'm just saying I just don't anticipate anything from it.
If I still don't like it.
Yeah. There's no crow to eat.
So it has the easiest chance of wowing me over because I don't expect it.
He has the lowest expectations from the film. Keep it minimalistic, baby.
So it should be able to blow me away with the low expectations I have for it, just like Ant-Man did. But Ant-Man actually was a good movie. But like Doctor Strange, I didn't expect anything from that, and that movie was great.
Oh yeah, that's true. The visuals sold both of those films, man. The visuals. That's what's going to help it out. But
yeah.
Hopping on over from Captain Marvel, we have some news from the man himself, Mr. Presidente. Kevin Feige had actually came out and confirmed during the press tour right now for Captain Marvel that the work currently being done on Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is going to use is confirmed to be using the full script that James Gunn had wrote for Guardians 3. So they're not altering it or anything. They're using the script that he did have, that he did leave. They may do some small editing, but they're not going to change anything or remove anything major. He said that they were happy with the script that James Gunn had left before the whole situation with him and everything else. So when hearing that, that made me really happy because of the fact that James Gunn did a great job writing the script for both the first Guardians and the second one. So whatever he had intended for Guardians 3, I wanted them to use the script and not just take pieces of it and redo it because of the fact that that would lose the original vision that they had. Now, the biggest aspect of who's going to direct the film since James Gunn's gone. A lot of people wanted Taika Waititi to do it after his success with Thor Ragnarok. However, Taika doesn't want to do it. He says only James Gunn should do it. So I think that's going to be the biggest point of contention.
And he's absolutely correct.
I agree.
He's absolutely correct.
I do not deny
only
that.
Only James Gunn should do it.
Only
I have a problem with this. I have a real problem with this. I really do. But go ahead. Keep going with what you're saying. No, go ahead.
Okay.
All right. So look, my problem is that they shouldn't use his script at all, dude, because it's his vision. It's his movie. He should be the one to do it. Now, say it comes out and the movie's fantastic. The movie's great. People are going to look and be like, you know, James, it's great because of James Gunn. James Gunn did it. And now if the movie fails, they're gonna be like, well, it's James Gunn's script. So it messes everything up because he's not attached to it besides his name being attached to the script. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, so, it only, for them going off the script solely, that's part of the equation as well.
Yeah, they're gonna, like, if it's great, they're gonna be like, oh yeah, James Gunn's fans are gonna be like, yeah, see, the movie was only good because James Gunn, it was James Gunn's script, this and that. His name's gonna be attached to it no matter what, which is not his movie anymore, so it shouldn't be attached to it. I feel like I'm just saying, say like we love Guardians, but say if that movie like is horrible and they'd be like, well, James Gunn wrote the script, so he's gonna take blame, you know, like they're gonna like use him as like pretty much like a scapegoat, dude.
So either he's gonna be praised for the fact that it succeeded well, even with him not being there to direct it, or
he's not gonna get praised for it regardless. I think because even if it comes out well, us fans will be like, oh, James Gunn did, but Disney's gonna run out and be like, you know, they're not gonna give him props. They're gonna be like, oh, most of everything James Gunn had put into the script, we changed anyway. You know what I'm saying? We're never gonna know the real story if they use his script fully or not, but. Whether or not they use the script or not, and it is great, he's not going to get the credit for it because they're going to be like, oh, that's part of what we change or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then if the movie fails and it's horribly done, they're going to be like, well, it's James Gunn's script. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I look at it. I don't think they should use the script at all. Mm. I think they should have somebody else do it. I wouldn't even want to be a director to come on there and have to even fill in his shoes anyway.
Yeah. There's a lot of factors that play into this as well.
You feel like that if they do, it's going to be like the whole situation with
bro, whoever takes
Ryan
over
Johnson
that movie,
and like Ryan Johnson and J.J. Abrams with Star Wars.
Yep. That's the same thing. That's a great comparison. Same thing, dude. Nothing Ryan Johnson could have did that would have went over well with the public, bro. Nothing. Yeah.
That's why they should have just let him do his own trilogy separately, like he's getting now, because it allows him to follow his vision without interfering with what J.J. set up.
But that's J.J. fault too, because we ain't got to go there. He didn't want to do the second movie until after the fact somebody else started doing it already. So, get out of here with that.
And now he's coming back.
What was he doing in the meantime anyway?
I don't know what he was doing at the time. I think he worked on something, but I don't think he did.
He did a TV show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He did. I think he did a TV show that was on Hulu?
Yeah, one of them.
It was either Hulu or FX. I can't remember which one he did.
Should have been good then.
I don't know. We'd have to look that up. Use the Google. Eh?
I just feel like James Gunn, like his name should be attached to that movie, not doing.
I agree with that.
I feel like the fans are gonna be like, I'm telling you, like, the movie's great. They're gonna be like, oh, it's James Gunn script, and Disney's gonna be like, no, you know, like this, whoever the director is, came in, rewrote, we did some reshoots and all that good stuff, and it's not his movie, even though it probably will still be his movie if it's good. But if it's bad, they're gonna be like, that's what was written up, you know, like I don't think any good really is gonna come from it for him. That's how I feel, and I don't see why he wants to let him can I get that back though, because he can use that in some other kind of form. He can even like alter that script. I'm not saying it.
Your mic's cutting out a little bit.
Well, I don't think he should be in there at all. But
and I feel like it would be a different take for the fans, because like if it does well, if they have to praise the script, saying it will, because the script maybe bombs, they'll say, okay, the script was good, but whoever directed it, produced it, whatever, is their fault. So it could be like they'll just stand for him no matter what.
You know what? They can do that too, but I don't know, dude. I think they'll save face.
Yeah, they're gonna do whatever they can to save.
I think Disney will most likely save face.
Yeah,
whatever. That's my point. And Disney's so powerful that everybody's gonna believe it either way it go. Disney can feed you shit in a biscuit and you're gonna love it. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just what it is.
Yeah.
You love it. You either accept it like they did with Star Wars EU, and he's cut all that shit out, and like the internet lit up that like what a couple months or so, and over time people just accepted it.
Because even the firing of James Gunn was stupid, but.
Yeah, that whole situation was that, and I see what
I don't care.
I'm
a bigger
on.
DC fan, so I'm happy he went over there.
Yeah,
and his next movie looks fantastic. Evil Superman.
Oh
that's
yeah,
not Superman.
Brightburn.
Oh, I want that shit to be Brightburn. Canon so badly. I do.
Yo, that I'm all for, because it's like a horror version of Superman on what would happen if he was like all messed up. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. I want it. Brightburn. Gotta watch that. But J.J. Abrams at the time was working on The Cloverfield Paradox and Overlord. That's
what yeah.
That's right, Cloverfield Paradox. That's actually pretty good on Netflix.
Yeah.
And Overlord looks crazy. I didn't watch it, but I've seen the trailers and I'm super interested in watching. I had time to watch it.
Yeah, Overlord. I still really want to, because of the fact that it's a World War II film with Nazi zombies, you know.
But monsters,
and,
bro.
Yeah, supernatural monsters. I mean, there's plenty of theories about all that, but I still want to check that out. That's definitely a movie that I think it's currently out in Redbox. Gotta go watch it. Gotta go there. Redbox special, baby. Let's go.
Let's do it.
But you know, hopping over from James Gunn talking about Marvel, let's swing on over to what he's doing now, right? James Gunn got picked up by Warner Brothers and DC, saying, "Hey, come to us, baby. We got something for you." And they talked with them.
And that was
Say again, G, you're breaking out.
Yeah,
I said that was the smartest thing that DC and Warner Brothers could have done, dude.
They absolutely
easily.
That's like signing the hottest in a sport.
Yep, they took an MVP
right
in the
heels,
sport.
Exactly, right in the heels of the both Guardian movies, him did, because we all know he fixed up that Thor Ragnarok. All disrespect to him. We know James, like, we know that. Same with what was the Infinity War, the last one? Yeah,
Infinity War.
He did that too.
Yeah.
Went in and fixed the majority of that movie. So just know. It's like.
Man, you are going straight Robotico.
Just. Am I?
Yeah.
Yeah, try hopping out, hop back in, see if that'll fix it.
Yeah, or unplug your mic and plug it back in. But yeah, no, you're not wrong. James Gunn definitely had a lot of help, or did a lot with doctoring and helping to put a lot of work and helping with those films. So he definitely had a lot going on for him and with him that he's not going to be credited for. And
yo, how y'all feel about Kevin Feige's quote real quick about James Gunn? His influence on the cosmic aspect of DC of the MCU was like blown out of proportion. It was some quote along the lines of that.
Yeah, they were saying that he was the major architect of all things cosmic. Now,
yeah,
he said that he had a lot of input on Guardians and the Avengers films, especially as we saw in Infinity War, and of course with the Guardians 3 script. But he said that the fact that he was the architect across all things cosmic was a little bit too much. He was basically saying, yeah, he helped to have input with what he did with the Guardians and then what came with with the Avengers, because it used the Guardians and setting up for that. But he wasn't the man who set up the entire foundation for the cosmic universe. That's what he was trying to get at.
Bullshit, he wasn't.
You think you're saying that he absolutely was the one who built the entire cosmic? That's your belief? I'm not trying to say it sarcastically or anything. I'm just saying you're one of the people that.
Okay, that's not really sarcastic from you.
Yeah, no, it was not meant to be sarcastic. I was legitimately like you're in the camp of fully believe that.
Yeah, for the MCU.
For the MCU.
Because there's nothing really cosmic-y going on, you know, like, for the movie universe, yeah.
The closest we got to it was
Battle of New York and Avengers.
Yeah, that was, like, snippet, like, that was so small, like, it didn't really, I don't know, like, it touched on it more or less, but he blew it out, you know what I'm saying? Like,
with
his movies took place.
Yeah, with the start of with Guardians 1 and everything.
Exactly.
I can definitely agree with that. I see where you're coming from. And definitely, I feel like he had a strong part in all of it, and setting everything up and providing a lot of information and.
I mean, because look, okay, let me. Will we be talking mostly if. Fail, you know, ask yourself that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you're not wrong. We really wouldn't be talking about him if Guardians did fail. About
if Guardians failed, the whole cosmic shebang would have been screwed up had Guardians. Because
it probably was shelved until later on.
Yeah, because everything that's happening now is all cosmic, bro. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Like since Guardians 1, everything has literally set up for Guardians. Initially set up Thanos, bro. Like. In a way, because like,
because he had Gamora.
Of course, the Tesseract. And of course, the Tesseract came.
Why
out
should
in,
I get her?
In Avengers, but like, he played a bigger role in, I think, Guardians with Ronan than in any other movie before that. You know what I'm saying? Before like everything actually jumped off. So to me, that movie initially jumped everything off.
Oh yeah, so of course it did.
A lot of it fell back on that movie. So had that movie flop and busted ass then. We wouldn't even be talking about this.
No, you're.
Yeah,
because
in first Guardians we got more from Thanos, and in the first Avengers all we got was a smile from him. Any credit?
And my point. And then we knew that we knew exactly he was pulling the string in the Guardians for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We absolutely did get all that set up and everything that was coming afterwards, because of everything that came in Guardians. So, I mean, I can understand. I definitely feel. That he helped to lay the groundwork. It's just, I think the way that people talk about him as the architect, that he built everything. I think that's what Kevin Feige is kind of reaching out to, is that everyone believes that he built everything that's related to the cosmic, like everything that's coming from Captain Marvel, and then the Nova and Silver Surfer film that's supposedly being reported, and everything else that's coming.
I mean, he built the foundation for it.
The foundation, I absolutely agree. I just don't think that. I think he's still just trying to.
And I think, I think once the foundation is built, it's much easier to build everything else upon.
True.
Yeah. So I think he deserves for the credit.
I wouldn't deny that. I think he does deserve a lot more credit than they were giving him for. But it's going to be interesting all the way around with it. But the fact is, Marvel let him go, and probably one of their worst moves. And DC and Warner Brothers turned around and swept him up and did the best thing that they could have done. And by doing that, we're seeing how that all works out. Because the fact that when they did, they opened up the aspect of him now being the director for Suicide Squad. I think he originally, they were offering him something else. No, they offered him something else first, but he didn't want to do the other project. Instead, he wanted to do Suicide Squad. And he wrote
I think eventually he's going to be the head. Like, he's going to be the Kevin Feige of DC's movies, bro. I think eventually.
You think James Gunn's going to be that guy?
I don't know if I want that, though.
I think so. I mean, I'm not saying I want it. I just think eventually that's going to be his role. If he knocks it out the park with Suicide Squad, they're not going to want to lose him, because he's going to be a really big hot commodity, because it's not like he's signed on. Like, how many movies did he sign on with Warner? Do we know?
I think he just signed up for the Suicide sequel right now.
All right. So that's my point. So they're going to want to, like, tie him down if that Suicide Squad is, like, big and it knocks it out of the park. I think they're going to try to tie him down. So they're going to give him whatever kind of role they can to keep him there and let him lead the stories. Like, if anybody can bring an ensemble cast together, he can, you know. And that's what needed to happen with the Justice League movie. It was just thrown together and I'm not trying to shit on that movie. I enjoy that movie, damn what anybody else said. I enjoy that movie. It's just the fact that, like, you have to be a special talent to mesh all these characters together and make them work, you know what I'm saying? And like, what Marvel did, they took some time to do it, and then DC tried to do it in like two movies. But James Gunn did it technically, like, really in one movie, because all he did was Guardians, the first one. You know what I'm saying? He made all those characters, because nobody before Guardians of the Galaxy movie, nobody cared about Rocket Raccoon, nobody gave a damn about Groot, no one cared, no one even knew who the hell Star-Lord was. He made people care about those characters.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that aspect.
And so I think he can make people care about Martian Manhunter. He can make people care about Booster Gold. He can make people care about characters that aren't that big.
Booster Gold.
And I love Booster
Gold. More obscure characters.
Straight name.
Hey,
drop
look,
right now.
I'm still excited for the fact that we get in a Blue Beetle movie. That's what I'm waiting for.
If you put him at the helm of that and oversee him, let him oversee it. Story wise, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't think that's what he wants. He stated that he doesn't want that. I think honestly what they should do though is definitely keep him as one of the directors around to have that staple, like what Marvel has built with having like Ryan Coogler, having Taika, having the Russo brothers and everyone else that's been helping to put together all the Marvel films and stuff like that. DC needs that repertoire. They need that built stable of good directors. After James Wan's success with right now with Aquaman, and what we're hopefully going to see with Shazam, you know, we need to see them get good directors to help out, because the fact
and
that
that's,
they
and,
need 18
that's
they need
7
18 with directors.
And that's another reason why I say James Gunn, because he's going to know like what kind of talent he needs to have those movies done, you know what I'm saying? Like Kevin Feige, he's a master of picking the talent to do these movies. He knows exactly who to pick and to put like on each movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, who could have done Black Panther any better than Ryan Coogler?
Spike Lee.
Really?
No, I'm just throwing that.
I just like that quick reaction, just Spike Lee.
Hey, you know what?
I get it.
So I do get that.
Oh yeah,
I completely
agree. I was like, all love to Spike Lee, man. I was like, no, I'm not that.
It was either Ryan Coogler or what's his name? The one that's doing And someone like that, bro.
It would have Jordan Peele?
Yeah.
Oh, Jordan Peele.
Exactly. Yeah. It would have been something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't just hand that book to anybody, bro. Kevin Feige's a master of picking who needs to do what.
Yeah, picking the right talent for the right project.
Exactly.
I agree with that. I could definitely agree with that. And I think whatever comes down the line for DC is that while I like James Gunn, I don't think that him being the president and the mastermind of DC is going to work. I think him being in their staple of directors and having a lot of input with helping to build is going to do a lot more than him being the head of it all. Just depending on his experience when it comes to knowing those comic lines in and out. Like Kevin Feige knows Marvel Comics. Like
he still have to answer to Jeff Johns, because Jeff Johns
Jeff Johns and all that.
The
other biggest part of it all, right, is that DC needs to have the damn executives stop getting involved. They saw the success with Aquaman. Is that now it's just like, hey,
that's the
step away.
Like by putting Jeff, there's him. Make sure
your mic's still messing boss. Up. BNG.
He still has a boss, but I mean, like, I think that's why they put Jeff Johns in the spot.
Oh, there you go. Now one can be clear. But yeah,
we move on, we gotta talk about who we're gonna recast as Deadshot in Suicide Squad.
Oh, well, we didn't even get to that because we got stuck talking about James Gunn.
Oh yeah, of course, but yeah.
But James Gunn directing Suicide sequel. But the thing is, right now, the biggest aspect of any returning cast members for the sequel, the only one being talked about right now is Margot Robbie for her take on Harley Quinn and everything. Of course, she already has the success and what's going on with the Birds of Prey and what's going to later come with Gotham City Sirens and then that crossover film between those ones. But the biggest other aspect right now is the fact of Will Smith is not returning to the Suicide Squad sequel to reprise his role as Deadshot. And there's a lot of things coming out about it, but the biggest one is the fact of...
Who cares?
Scheduling conflicts.
Oh, hell no. No, it's too cheap. Not doing that.
We got some back and forth right now. All right, so...
Not for Smith.
So right now, G doesn't care about Will Smith being Deadshot, and Op, you do. So, explain your points. I am fascinated.
Well, for me, Will Smith was one of, I guess, better parts of Suicide Squad, because I didn't enjoy that movie that much. But on top of that, him not being back for a role Deadshot, they just lose one of their ace actors in the movie as well. Because I'm pretty sure a lot of people came for that movie just to see Will Smith in it, and probably Margot Robbie as well.
Yeah, because Margot Robbie
the big names
he
lost on. Yeah, I'm like a certain hero out there. But anywho.
Don't even gotta hide it. That's exactly what a lot of people got into it.
Like, for this dude, it's sad he won't be able to come back.
Everybody went and seen that movie for Margot Robbie. Nobody gives a rat's ass about Will Smith because he has shot like some duds these last couple of years. He just has. I'm sorry. He's not the same. He's not the same.
He's not wrong. He has had quite a few duds lately.
Yeah, dude. Why do you think he? I mean, like, nothing bad against the whole like Suicide Squad, but why do you think he got that role, bro? Like,
They needed a name.
Exactly, but like they just
ran
and grabbed him. But like, he's not that great anymore. I'm sorry, he's just not like that. After Earth. Crap! Like, he's done some duds, bro.
I'm not doing the duds. I'm not doing it at all.
Whenever was it Bright?
Bright
was like his best movie. Bright was really his best movie he's done, like in probably that, like 10 years, bro.
I think the last film that he did really was Pursuit of Happiness.
Wait, when did I Am Legend drop?
I
Am Legend drop?
That movie wasn't even that dope though.
2007.
I take Hancock over that, and Hancock was trash. Like,
God damn, Super! You sound like
no. And not only that, think of that.
Yeah, because I was younger. I enjoyed it more.
You were younger. You were younger and dumber. It happens, bro.
What about Men in Black 3? Did you hate Men in Black 3?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
It was okay. Men in Black 3 was okay.
Men in Black 3 was trash. Men in Black 2 was dope. Men in Black 1 was dope. My point, just make my point. Those movies, he has not had like really a great movie. Like you said, Pursuit of Happiness. What was the other one? Like 7 Pounds, stuff like that. Yeah, 7 Pounds. But that was over a decade ago.
Yep. Oh well, what about Concussion? The biography he did. He did great. He did a good job in Concussion.
I didn't watch that, so I can't speak on it. But because of the fact that he was throwing so many duds around, led me to not watch that. Yeah. And then it looked too much like he was playing the characters from 7 Pounds and Pursuit of Happiness. And I kind of hate when people keep doing that same role over and over because it shows
they get typecasted and they do the same
style. And then it shows really no versatility. Like as much as I love Denzel, he did the same type of movie like 5 times in a row and I was over it. Like Man on Fire, Deja Vu, and what the hell else? He did like all these movies like consecutively that it just felt like it was the same character walking on. The Equalizer. Yeah, it was just like this.
However,
right
in the Equalizer, that one was dope. That one was really
no, it was. Like, I'm not taking anything away from. It. I'm just saying it just makes you get the statement like this dude, like he's just playing the same. Okay, like The Rock. Tell me The Rock. I mean, Fast and Furious did not look like he walked on the set of G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't deny like that.
Straight off.
And
like he walked out of G.I.
He does look like
on to the Fast.
Yeah. And every time
he's an action star though, so that's gonna happen with his career.
I get enough for just, you know what I'm saying, like mm-hmm. and show you can do it, but who am I to judge
it? But he's not wrong that being typecasted does tend to hurt your versatility, because look at what happened for so long with other actors.
Of course.
That, you know, especially let's really get at it, right, with one of the biggest names right now that has been typecasted every time you see him, and it's nothing against him. I do love the actor, Norman Reedus. Norman Reedus is typecasted as the biker style actor.
Yep.
Every time you see him, he is some sort of biker or like kind of roadster mobster. Hey. Every time.
Hey, they might change. That's strange. They might change, man. Because we don't know what the fuck going on there.
Awesome. I swear, I was like, why didn't they put this boy in Days Gone? Like, why? Why is he not in Days Gone?
Right? Oh my God. With that character. Yeah, hey, no. With the main character, Deacon St. John.
The main character. They swapped those two characters, the one for Days Gone and Death Stranding, if they swap them, those games probably will sell better.
Yeah. Because in Death Stranding, you already have Matt Nicholson and Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro.
So on top of that, yes, thank you. I can't always butcher his name. And on top of that, Kojima as well, who's creating the game as well. Yeah. So they're good on prominent names for Death Stranding.
Yeah.
So they actually swapped out and Dave's
playing,
been good.
No. He's an actor too. He's played in movies and stuff like that. He was on Supernatural. He had his own show. He was a Star Killer on The Force Unleashed, the video games. Yeah.
Wait, that's the same. Killer. That's the same dude.
That's the same dude.
By mocap or like voice act?
No, that's him. Like his features and everything. Yeah.
Huh.
That's Star Killer dude.
I did not know that. Interesting. I just.
Ooh, I had a chance to drop knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually caught me by surprise.
Encyclopedia over here in
To be fair, I wasn't paying attention to Days Gone at all, so that's probably why I didn't look into it.
That's fair. No, I knew it like off jump when I seen his face. I was like, why does this guy look familiar? But I'm a big Supernatural fan, and he came out in one of the seasons, probably like season 7 or something. He was like one of the.
I think I stopped right in season 7 or season 8.
And he was on, if I'm not wrong, he was on Smallville for a while.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, since someone on this panel gives a fuck about Will Smith, who would y'all like to see recasted as Deadshot?
As Deadshot.
Now, do we want an African American or do we want anyone?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Was he ever African American in the comics? I don't think. Was he? I don't remember if he ever was.
I think in one universe he was.
I know they don't like using the CW actors, but dude, Manu Bennett plays a badass.
The one from Arrow. The CW's. Yeah. Hey, he was dope. I loved him.
Yeah. He's dope as shit, dude.
He really was good. The CW had some great actors for those roles, dude.
As a Deathstroke, he's dope, so I don't see why he couldn't do the role in the other one. Because the Deathshot they got on the TV show is not really that great, but like Manu being in the costume and doing everything like that, I don't see why he just couldn't shoot. So
yeah, dude. But the actor who played Deathstroke, absolutely get him. Do that. Perfect make fit. Him perfect. There you go.
Yeah, okay, who was Deathstroke in the credit scene for Justice League? Was it the same guy or someone different?
No, that was someone different.
That was Joe Manganiello.
I can look him up real quick. I can't remember his face.
Yeah, Manu
Bennett. He was the freaking wolf on True. He was like the head wolf on True Blood. If you guys watch that, he's married to Sophia Vergara.
Yeah. Well, I think they're splitting.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know nothing. Yeah, but no, dude. Yeah, Manu Bennett. He'll be perfect for Deadshot. Like, dude, get him. Get him. I want him. Now that I see him and get the thought of him as Deadshot, I want him only as Deadshot. They need to do this. This needs to be a thing. No. Can we make a petition to make this a thing? Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, with James Gunn name already being attached to it, you don't really have to get these star-studded ass actors.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it just doesn't work out when you get like the biggest name actors, because they're just getting them for a name, not for their actual. Like,
To be fair, it's a big block. It's a big film for a big company and a big, stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
but
Suicide Squad
will forever be like second tier like comic. Though,
I mean, but the Guardians were always, C level.
No, but I'm saying Margaret Robbie's already gonna sell them, bro.
She's coming back already,
so she's already gonna sell them. The movie's already gonna sell itself with her, and the fact that it's a sequel. And you got a better director attached to it, and then depending on how the trailers and stuff look, it will
sell
itself.
But how are they gonna explain, how are they gonna explain?
Reboot it and keep Margaret Robbie.
Hey,
that can work.
I mean, he killed the original Deadshot and took over. That's it. Boom. No, there you go.
Took over the mantle as Deadshot. There you go.
He's the true Deadshot.
Where'd the original director for Suicide Squad go? It's actually like his first.
Not anywhere, because of the fact that he didn't do anything well.
He went back under the rock. He crawled from under the director movie.
God dang, it was that bad for him.
Yep, it was not pretty. We're just gonna go with that.
It was decent though. You know what?
It was enjoyable.
Didn't it win like an Oscar or something for like visual effects? Or
no,
like
best costumes.
Yeah, I knew it won something like that. So it won. Hey, it did something a lot of other movies didn't do that or bigger than that movie. So.
I think there was another film that had better costume designer. I think that the year that
Academy sure as hell didn't think about it.
I can't remember what film it went up that had much better outfits.
Black Panther had the best outfits though. That's all I gotta say.
It really did. It really did.
It, yeah, you know.
Especially how you blended all different African cultures together. He would get the Wakandan appeal. It's working that film.
That shit was dope. That shit have you want to rock a dashiki.
Exactly, bro.
I was trying to go to work on with a dashiki with nothing under. Just go and do it.
Not me.
Bro, not my campus. I get called out for that shit.
I can't do that. However, I would have probably bought a headdress and everything and showing up, in my ancestors' garb, to my Native American to give praise to my brothers and sisters.
Close enough.
Yep. I was like, I'm not going to do that kind of stuff. I ain't going to go out and get a dashiki. I don't got that kind of pass yet. Oh, that's crazy. Oh, but yeah, what's going on just the fact that he's not coming back as Deadshot is a good thing and a bad thing, but how it's all going to play out is going to be something totally separate.
And that's the thing too. Like, he's also doing Bad Boys 3.
Yeah, he's
now,
doing
that
bad.
Would flop. What you gonna say then? What if it's all on him for it?
He'd
be dudding it up now, dog. He'd be dudding it up. Telling
what
you.
If I like it? What if I like it regardless?
That's your fresh. Prince bias, and I get that for sure. And Bad Boys 1 and 2 were fantastic.
Hey, man.
That's why I kind of wish they didn't do a 3, but because I don't have no hope for that movie.
Oh, man.
But
it's going to be something else, man. Whatever.
As long as they bring some Haitians out, I'm cool. I'll fight.
Oh, man. All right. So, go from there, because we're getting a little too wild on these topics over here. Oh, man.
It's my bad.
Yeah. So, hopping from all that, we got a little bit of Dragon Ball news, right? Yeah. This is the only, like, light anime news that's out there, unfortunately. So, we talked our comic books. We talked our movies. Now let's see what's going on in the anime world. And the only thing that's out right now.
It's been dry anime for a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, they got that One Piece movie.
Yeah, the One Piece movie. I don't know.
Keep that shit in the bushes.
All right, and that's coming from that's coming from
the One Piece enthusiast over here.
Exactly.
Bro, so, I do not fuck with most shonen movies. After that, what was that, Seven Deadly Sins movie that I saw? After I finished the second or third season, the second season of it, I was like, nah, never again. I'm done with shonen movies.
But wait, did you watch
Seven Deadly Sins movie bad or what?
I did not like it at all. I'm probably just hating on it because it's a shonen movie, but like I did not enjoy it.
Did you watch the My Hero film?
Not yet.
Are you going to?
I totally gonna get the Blu-ray when it drops.
Okay.
Yeah, that movie's gonna
But you also really liked Dragon Ball Z Broly.
Oh yeah, that's actually much better than I expected to be.
Broly was a whole other stuff though.
You're not.
If they killed him off in the end, I was prepared to cry. If they killed Broly off at the end of that movie, I was prepared to cry. Because they got him so good. They got him right in the movie.
I just wanted to like to survive, dog. This between me and you.
And I'm glad that we brought that up, because that's all going to transition into what's going on right now. And that's about the Dragon Ball Super manga, right? So if anyone has been reading the manga right now, it is currently ongoing with the Super or the Galactic Patrol prisoner story arc right now, and the big bad villain is known as World Eater Moro. And if you don't know who that is the goat man literally right here in the center, because of the fact that the dude is actually a very interesting villain, because of the fact that he actually has the power to siphon one's energy and their life force. And when he has gone and fought against Goku and Vegeta, he's actually been able to keep them from being able to transform into Super Saiyan. He's actually been able to take that much.
Well, no. He hasn't. I don't know. I haven't read the last
issue. They were not able to transform into Super Saiyan.
No, Vegeta transformed on him. Vegeta fought him and transformed. But then what happened was, as he was fighting him, the power... So he did transform initially and fight, but it just he took his power, so it wasn't enough to hold Ma.
Yeah, he was draining their energy and the force that allows him to be Super Saiyan. And after they got deformed and they tried to transform back, they were unable to. So it led into an interesting theory because of what's currently going on with that fact. That they need to have a new way to be able to channel the power of the Saiyans. And this is actually what I'm glad that everyone brought up the Broly film, because of the fact that there are talks that they may actually bring back the Ozaru transformations. Because if anyone watched the Super, the Dragon Ball Super Broly film, and if you haven't, this is going to be a bit of a spoiler, but Broly actually was able to channel part of his power and the ferocity of his Ozaru form while he was still in his base form. Without going, before he lost his mind and went legendary Super Saiyan, he was able to tap into the power of the Ozaru. And we saw that actually was originally introduced back in GT with the Super Saiyan 4 transformation.
Which is not canon.
You know. It is not canon. That is absolutely true.
It might be at this point.
that's exactly what we're looking at. Is that with the fact that the Super Saiyan energy that exists within them now, they can't tap into it because of the fact that Moro actually is able to siphon that energy and that life force from them, being able to let them go into Super Saiyan form. And it even kept them from going into Super Saiyan Blue, because they weren't able to tap into the God Key because of that. So now they need a new way to be able to use their power without using their the energy that they require to transform. And that goes into the aspect of them being able to tap back in to the Uzaru form, because the fact that we know that the Galactic Patrol prisoner arc takes place after the Super Saiyan Broly film, or the Dragon Ball Super Broly film. So with knowing the fact that he was able to tap into that, we may actually see the foundations of them possibly, and I say possibly because we don't know, it's still a theory based on everything we have right now, that Super Saiyan 4 might be coming back. Or Super Saiyan Form 4, which was, for those who don't know, was a branch off of the Saiyan transformations and everything, just like God and Super Saiyan Blue is like a separation because it's not technically following the Super Saiyan path anymore, like 3 and everything else. It's them being able to channel the God Key and then make a form out of it. So it's its own separate entity, just like the Uzaru and the Great Ape and all that was its own separate transformation and everything. So with that being said, what do y'all think? What are y'all's thoughts on that? Gee, I know you're the biggest fan for Dragon Ball, especially for your boy Vegeta, and I know you liked his Super Saiyan 4 transformation a bit. I know I certainly did. What are your thoughts on it?
Yup, even with them leather pants, bro. Now I think it's very interesting, man, to see how they're gonna implement it, if that's what they're gonna do. Because I mean, even with Toei, but the thing is too, like with us being hinted at that or thinking that, because it's a fan's idea, it's interesting too to see that Toei did put that post with the Dragon Ball, the 3-star and the 4-star Dragon Ball, saying, you know, like I think they said like something legendary.
Oh yeah, there's also that tease that a legendary announcement's coming or whatever.
Yeah, so I mean, kind of like reading to that, do you think it's Super Saiyan 4? Because they did show the four star Dragon Ball. Do you think it's that, or do you think that's them possibly becoming legendary Super Saiyans? You know, so I don't know because, oh man, with Dragon Ball, you can, whatever you think of with Dragon Ball is always like almost complete opposite, dude. It's always some kind of swerve going on, like all the time. But I do hope it's 4, but like a new look on 4, you know, and because Paragus did talk about, you know, how he was cutting his tail off. Oh, spoiler alert. He was cutting his tail off and helping Broly
Multiple times, to be fair, too, is that we know that Broly still had his tail in the film. However, he had to cut it off multiple times to stop him from going Great Ape.
Uh-huh. And that's the thing. How many times have they tail cut off in Dragon Ball? Because it hasn't been that many times. No, like Vegeta.
Vegeta and Goku literally had their tails cut once.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, and that's what's even weird about, see, let the retcon begin.
Yeah.
Because it's only been one time. That tail is not grown back, bro. So let the retcon begin. Vegeta's going to tell you a story about how he cuts his tail off in the shop just to, like, because you don't like how it looked. You know?
And
like,
I mean,
who knows? But, like,
if it goes that, I would not be against it. I would not be against that. Even, to go for that story.
Hey, look.
Even Gohan's tail hasn't grown back.
Yeah, Gohan never grew his tail back after he got his cut off by Piccolo. And they I mean, so there's already the whole retcon about why Goten and Trunks didn't have tails when they were born.
Yeah, it's gonna be weird to introduce that, dude. I want to see how they do it if that's the case. Because it doesn't make any sense. But that's the norm in Dragon Ball. But
I mean, the Super Broly film itself was an entire retcon.
Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. But it was. But like I always say, ain't nothing wrong with retcon if it's for the good. And it was for the good. It was so much more better with it happening that way.
It's just how they're gonna introduce it to make it make sense and explain a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Because like to me, like right now they're on a good path. I mean, like the storytelling right probably been the best it's been in a long time. And this Moto guy, he pretty crazy, dude. Like reading it, he's pretty crazy. He's pretty intense because he took out some, you know. So, and it took a Kai to steal it. So his power is very unique, very strong. So they need something. That's gonna be pretty crazy, man. But I'm stoked. Yeah, I hope it is Super Saiyan. Like I said, I hope it is Super Saiyan 4 with a new twist, a new look. You know, I wasn't too crazy about the hair. You know. I mean, like the hair on their bodies, not the hair on their head. But
Oh man, dude, I thought the weird color.
I don't understand where the colors came
from. The red hair.
Yeah, like where'd that come from? Because like it's not like when they were a grape ape, they were red apes. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't get it.
Yeah, I mean,
they probably thought it would look weird if they had real golden fur on them. You know, that would make more sense.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, even with that too, they had the not only just that, they also had the red eyes. Like yeah, everyone forgets that, man. Man, anime characters especially, they always got some crazy eyeliner going on. Like, has anyone paid attention to my boy 17? Like,
yep.
He got crazy eyeliner going on. Or yeah, 17, yeah.
Or could they be hinting at Broly appearing and fighting with them?
That'd be interesting.
As that legendary tweet go.
I mean, that'd be interesting for.
I hope is that any reason to get Broly back in the story. I'm definitely for.
Everyone, just throw Broly back into it. Let everyone get it.
But you know what? I want them to throw Broly back in there, and he becomes like a second rate character because he is like top tier.
That's a possibility too.
I don't want them to throw him in, and the next thing you know, he's like Gohan.
Hey, look, still got shitty Gohan.
Or
we
Boo.
Still got shitty Gohan.
Yeah, because Gohan, how did Gohan? I still don't get that. How did Gohan go from like the guy who defeated Cell? No one else could do it. He defeated Cell, and then.
It's because he got his ass whooped by Boo in the Boo saga that he lost that cockiness and just said, I'm just going to be a student and just go work for a living.
So what you're saying is Boo humbled the shit out of him and he didn't want to fight no more.
Exactly. He got humbled so bad, he's like, I'm done. He's like,
oh. But even so powerful he got just by training with Goku, that's another thing. I don't get how he trains with Piccolo of all people and he like can match Goku's strength. Like, how do you train with a character who's like, levels below Goku, and then you match his strength like in a fight. Never mind. That's neither here nor there right now. That's other shit.
Look, all
the power MacGuffins and Dragon Ball are ridiculous.
It's just the fact that we got Shitty Gohan. Shitty Gohan is Shitty Gohan.
Yeah, I hope the Dragon Balls bring. I hope someone wish that Gohan goes back to old Gohan.
Wish for better writing.
Yeah, wish for better writing for Gohan. I mean. I doubt it because the fact that they look at what they did with Trunks, right? Trunks had a great build up all through
Cell Saga.
No. Trunks had a great build up in the Goku Black arc up until the very end. Just like, hey, Trunks is actually good again.
That was horrible.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, Trunks is actually like a well built character, and then comes the how are we gonna defeat Fuse Zamasu? Oh, Genki Dama Sword. How the hell did he use this spear bomb and the sword? I don't know, but he's gonna do it, and then just suddenly wins. She's like,
and
no.
You know what? They should have. They should have built off that, like little Trunks seeing future Trunks. That should have like enabled him to become a better character because he could have been like, damn, that's me. The fate of the world. You know, like he should have seen that and like sparked a better fighter.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of matured him as the character right then and there because you know. Him and Goku, even though he's still young, all they do is play pranks. Like they're just like kind of annoying ass little partners. Like they're kind of just like annoying ass little characters now. So like even like the ball just hinges on Goku develop the other characters, which kind of sucks.
It does.
I wish for better writing.
It does suck, man.
In that moment, Trunks should have been like, when he found out like that's older him, like he should have been like, damn, that feels badass. I want to be like that. You know what I'm saying? He got serious, like, and started training more because his dad's serious as hell, and he's just like, you need to. And then too, like Vegeta himself should take on his because now that he has this, like, because Vegeta as a character has evolved. You know, like he's more into his family now. Yeah, he's more into his family now, so he should have himself taken upon him and be like, you know, Trunks, come here. I want you to be like Kakarot's son over there, Gohan, who's a piece of, you know, like he's not gonna want that. You know what I'm saying? Because like, look at who was it, Beerus? How he hit Bulma and Vegeta went ham on him, bro. Like,
oh, absolutely.
That shows you right there. You know what I'm saying? That he cared, and even the tournament of power, how he sacrificed himself because he thought about his family. And stuff like that. So it's evident he really cares about his family. So you don't think he would take Trunks and like want to train him? Because once Vegeta is gone from this world or from that world, Trunks is his son, and it just should be like, you know, his heir, and he will want him to be defending the Earth, right? Like, that's what you would think, at least.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so. Man, I just
hashtag
I don't know.
Need better writing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, they got the better writing, but it's just not in the game, or it's not in the
show.
Yeah,
that's the thing too. We can't even invest too much show along with the manga, because what's happening in the manga may not be evident in the tournament and the powerhouse, how different it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility.
Yeah,
you want to get excited for it, but then you realize the reality surrounding it is like,
the reality is just, it's not there. It's, and that's just from the past, man. That's just how they've done it, and it hurts the show because of the fact that that they have the potential and yet it goes squandered. It really does get wasted, and it's just.
And as much as I love Dragon Ball, I don't invest too much thought into a great story coming from Akira Toriyama.
Yeah,
that's just
yeah. Yo, is this IP and Pokemon like are terribly mismanaged?
They are. Like I said this before, is that Pokemon had the potential to be on the level of like
One Piece. It could be a dope stolen.
Like Pokemon as a brand itself, and how iconic the characters are, and how instantly recognizable, could have been up there with like some of Disney's most like, recognized characters. Like they have that much potential because of how much of a global phenomenon Pokemon is. But they've mismanaged it so many times and done so many stupid things with it.
Right. Like, there's no reason Pokemon Go should not still be a top game playing right now, or one of the top games. Yeah. I would say top. Like, I haven't looked at the charts recently, but, like, one of the top fives or so. But, like, they were just slow to support it and whatnot, get it, surface or everything, like, wherever it was.
Even worse, these damn remake movies that are just god-awful. The Pikachu, no, the I Choose You movie or whatever, trash, straight trash, and then not even the fact that they're remaking Mewtwo Strikes Back in CG.
Oh, but that movie gave me the feels though back in the day. Oh my god.
Back in the day, but if you saw the teaser trailer for the new one,
I
was so disgusted.
It's a skip right there.
Yep.
It's the bushes. Shit.
I wanted to throw that into the bushes fast. It is the bushes.
It's the bush.
Into the bush with it. Go. Get gone. That's what it needs to do.
Bush.
Like, luckily, we have Detective Pikachu coming out, but like as far as like the shows, there's no reason it should not be one of the big shows right now.
That's why that movie got teased the same week as Sword and Shield.
Yep.
Yeah, boosted up too.
But nothing is going to shield that. Nothing is going to shield that film. Nothing is going to shield that film. The only thing right now, the only thing that is gonna do anything is going to be the Detective Pikachu film. That film is going to do numbers, and I'm happy with that because I want that film. That's a film I can get behind. That is a good Pokemon film.
Yeah, we threw it out there. We thought it was going to do.
Yeah. It's gonna outshine Endgame. It's gonna outshine the Avengers, and that's not to downplay the Avengers isn't gonna do numbers. Avengers is gonna do hella numbers. Just Detective Pikachu is gonna outshine that. So let that show.
Because you see the support that Alita got just from their home country.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what Pokemon's gonna do, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine Pokemon's way bigger than that movie.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
And they love the live adaptations on some of their favorite IPs as well.
Own stores over there, my guy. Come on.
Dude, there's an entire dedicated Pokemon store in, I think it's Akihabara. They have a dedicated Pokemon store. Just like here in the States, we have a Disney store. They have Pokemon over there. Everywhere. The fact that Detective Pikachu is going to be one of the bigger saving graces for the Pokemon franchise. But.
Bruh, they're going to make a merchandise for that movie? Like, God, bruh.
Mm-hmm. And they got the perfect star power to play the talking Pikachu. Like, having Ryan Reynolds is perfect.
Speaking of that, people are fighting how Danny DeVito.
Oh my God.
I just thought it just would be funny just to have him voice Pikachu with that whole movie.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's so stupid. People are so stupid. Why are you so stupid? Oh, man. But with that being said, guys, That was everything that we had here, and it was a lot of fun. We went left on so many things because we can never stay on track because we always get distracted.
Don't matter.
It don't matter.
Back today, that's why.
Yeah, G actually has stuff to talk about too. G was actually talking. But man, guys, for everyone who stopped by and was here with us, we do greatly appreciate everyone stopping by. Hopefully, you're liking the slowly evolving presentation we're doing. We're trying to continue building it. So many things are hitting us. G's been busy. I'm busy with work and stuff like that. But we're going to continue to keep pushing, doing more. Yeah. We're hoping to have a lot more things in the works. Also, of course, down below, make sure you follow us all on social media, as well as we have an announcement. The 1 year anniversary, giveaway did just finish, and we do have our winners here, and I'm going to announce them right now. And that is actually Thomas Vogel, as well as Peter Branick. I don't know how to pronounce that, and I do apologize for that. But Peter, you won, and so did T Vogel. So you guys, if y'all are listening or watching, make sure that y'all be looking out for the email. I'm going to be reaching out to y'all here soon, so that way we can get those packages out to you. So make sure that y'all are paying attention to that, because trust me, we have been wanting to do this, and we're going to be doing more things here soon. I do believe we're going to try to do another one here maybe in May, maybe just before E3. Maybe we'll do it sooner if we can get to our goal of 225 subs. Help us get there, guys. We're trying to grow. We're trying to build. It helps out with everything. We don't ask for much. We're just glad that y'all come by and just talk nerdy with us. But from all of us guys here, peace out and check you later, guys.